Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be together today to receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament, and join together in our praise and prayer towards our loving God, who this morning we recognize specifically comes to us in comfort and rest and peace. And he stills and calms us from the hectic world that we live in the rest of the week. And so we're blessed to be together in his calmness and in his peace this morning. And so fittingly, we welcome those on the radio to join with us in that peace and calm as we hear our Lord's word and worship him together today. And we also begin our service with hymn 752, Be Still My Soul. So let's join together and open our service with that hymn of invocation and recall that blessed gift of our Lord that gives us peace, calm, and assurance. We sing together. It's in the Lord's peace and His comfort this morning that we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared.
And since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon Him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 145. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. On your wondrous works I will meditate, and I will declare your greatness. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in your mercy, guide the course of this world so that your church may joyfully serve you in godly peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Job in the 38th chapter. As a preface to this reading, how often do we consider what a great privilege it is to be able to come before the Lord our God in prayer, to speak to Him as we'd speak to a friend or to a neighbor, or even sometimes to a spouse or a parent, we speak to our Heavenly Father. And what a great privilege this is. And every time we do it, bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus on the cross. We begin in verse 1 of Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it bursts out from the womb? When I made clouds its garments and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far you shall come and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stayed." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry, but as servants of God we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as dying, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? "Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We invite you to join us now in confessing our faith together to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father
Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. And he was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, to the kingdom I have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, but I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for today, 717, Eternal Father Strong to Save. Let's sing. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text this morning from Mark's Gospel, seems to draw some really interesting connections and parallels to another book of the Bible from the Old Testament. I mean, this is the blessing that your Sunday school teacher gave you when they taught you the Old Testament stories. Because when we read in the New Testament, we often see that reflection back into those accounts from the Old Testament. This morning, interestingly enough, Mark chapter 4 and our lesson about Jesus calming the sea that was in tumult when the disciples were out in the boat has its reflection in multiple places, but one in particular, the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, there's some interesting parallels. Because in Jonah, in chapter 1 of his prophecy, he was in a boat, and a great wind and a wild tempest came upon them while out in the boat. And while the mariners were busy trying to save the boat and fearful of the storm and for their lives, where was old Jonah the prophet? But down in the boat, sleeping. Jesus' disciples also found themselves in a similar kind of situation as Jonah. Out on the sea in a boat. And what happens but a wild storm and tempest, the wind and the waves all around them, threatening to break up their boat. And where was Jesus? Asleep, down in the boat. Just like Jonah. The captain of the ship came to Jonah, if you remember the story, waking him and asking Jonah to help. He says to Jonah in verse 6 of chapter 1, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise and call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give thought to us," he says, "that we may not perish." And the same sort of thing happens in verse 38 of Mark chapter 4. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" What's with these parallels? These reflections, if you will. What do they mean? Well, I think first off, they show us that Jonah's story was penultimate. It wasn't just about Jonah. It was actually foretelling some realities of the future that, of course, what? Point to Messiah. Point to the God who's in control of the sea and the land and all that is within them. Jonah figured it out pretty fast who was in control in his situation. But it shows us that Jonah's life as a prophet was pointing to Jesus. Jonah was running from God, if you recall. Told by God to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to the people, but he didn't want to go. And so he ran off. Jesus was not running. Not at all. In fact, he was obedient to the Father in every way. But he preached repentance too. And still does. Jonah couldn't command the sea to be calm. No, in fact, that's God's doing. Jonah didn't even listen to the captain who came in, remember, and said, "Pray for us." Oh, but he couldn't pray. Why? Because he was so bound up with guilt and shame over what he'd done, old Jonah. He was literally trying to escape the God who sees everything. He was literally running away from him. Heavy guilt and shame had laid a hold of his heart so that he says in verse 12 of his prophecy, chapter 1, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me," he says, "that this great tempest has come upon you." Funny enough, did the mariners out with Jonah that day or that night listen to Jonah? Well, not right away. First, they tried to what? to save themselves, to row their boat to land. That's verse 13 of chapter 1. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. And finally, out of desperation, those mariners, having been told by Jonah that he was running from God, and then having cast lots that fell on Jonah, learning the hard way that they couldn't fight that storm themselves, finally cast Jonah into the depths. And the result, that the sea ceases from its raging. Quick side note here. Doesn't this story teach us a lot about ourselves? When storms, so to speak, come up in our lives, see, there's another parallel at work with Jonah's story. And it's a parallel not just to the gospel, because they're there too, but to your life and to mine. Look up real quick for me, if you would humor me just a second. And around a little bit at the big wooden beams. You know, a lot of people say that our sanctuary looks a lot like a boat. Some people say it looks like maybe the ark, Noah's Ark. We're all in this sea we call life. Each and every one of us. Dealing with our own realities and the own things that come up. And guess what? Come up for each and every one of us. Storms. They come up. Maybe you're going through a storm right now. But there are storms. And some storms can even threaten our boat right here, friends. And we have to be aware of that. That this boat, this big wooden one we're sitting in, the nave that you're sitting in right now, means boat. And actually, the boat's kind of level this morning. It's not leaning one way too hard. There are some things that can threaten this boat, this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gift that God's given us as church. These storms come up. And they come up in our individual lives too. Kind of a key word that you hear often when someone's describing a storm is the word trauma. Right? Traumas happen. These things come up. You might have a loved one who passes away, or you might have a financial problem that's so big you're really afraid, or a relationship problem that you can't seem to work out. Careers sometimes face storms and end up in crisis. Anything that threatens our safety is like a storm to us. Some people even have storms about not what's happening to them right now, but what they're worried is going to happen to them tomorrow. And the anxiety over what could happen ends up such a storm inside their heart and their mind. And what do we do when we have a storm? I think we can learn a lot about from this text, because we do exactly what the mariners did that time with Jonah. Our first reaction isn't what the captain told Jonah to do always, which is pray to your God. Our first reaction is to what? Let's start rowing. Let's see if we can figure it out. Let's take the burden upon ourselves and see if we can fix this situation. And it just makes sense, right? Like, we have to do something. But here's the part, and I don't disagree with that, but here's the part that we always forget, that we have a God who's all-powerful and who loves us and who literally sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us, not just for our forgiveness, huge thing, not just for our eternal life, another huge thing, but for our life now, and that he's in control of it, and that he's working his will in your life and in mine. And are storms a part of that? Yes, they are. Because there's sin in this world. And because it's here, problems are going to arise. The waves are going to get tall. The wind's going to blow. But then there's another point too. Because Jonah, in his account, he's all tied up in what? In guilt and shame over his sin. So much so that he says, hurl me into the sea. Friends, when we end up in a storm, we're happy to do a lot of the same things that happened that day on Jonah's boat. They started throwing in, guess what, the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. We'll throw lots of stuff out of our lives, often really good stuff, and many people, sadly, we pray for them, have thrown church out of their lives. Trying to row harder, trying to make it work. They've taken God's word and thrown it into the sea, so to speak. Don't have time for it anymore. The most precious thing. Oh, and like they threw Jonah over, we do that too. We have a problem in our lives. Walk the plank, buddy. Overboard you go. We're done with them, right? We think it's gonna fix it. That's how we row, see? Is we get rid of stuff. We think, well, I'm good, so if I just get all this bad stuff out of my life, then everything will turn around and go okay. Somebody needs to buy you a mirror. And buy me a mirror so we can look at it. And we have one. It's called God's Word. And it is like a mirror to us, according to the Apostle James. We see in it what manner of people we are by what God teaches. We'll throw people overboard. We'll throw all kinds of issues away, trying to avoid this conclusion, friends. This conclusion exactly. I'm the problem. We don't really like that. And if we do arrive there, then we'll start to beat ourselves up, just like Jonah did. God's angry at me. That's what's going on. It must be some sort of situation like that. Well, I did sin, I guess, and I did do this, and I remember that, and maybe God's finally giving me back what I deserve. We'll beat ourselves up. Heck, we'll throw ourselves overboard, emotionally speaking. All that anxiety's got to come from somewhere, right? But what do we learn from these parallels? We listen to the words of our Lord Jesus. And we learn from the disciples and where they went. They didn't turn to throwing themselves overboard or throwing somebody else overboard. Where did the disciples go when they were afraid on that boat and filled with anxiety? And if you've never been on a boat that you think is going to sink, then you kind of don't understand how it feels. But if you have been, it's scary. We learn together this morning again who is the one who can really calm all these storms in our lives. Jonah found out who it was too. The disciples, they come to Jesus. He's asleep on the cushion in the stern and they wake him up. And they say, don't you care that we're perishing? And what does he do? He wakes up. And he comes to help and he comes to save. He has power over all creation. This is a point that we need to hold on to, right? To drive into our own hearts and minds that our God, the one who hears your prayers when you pray them, has power over all the storms that you might be facing in your life right now or that might come tomorrow. He holds the future in his hand and he is in control of it. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts. So they come to Jesus and the waves and the wind must obey his command. Now what does he say to them? When they're raging. Maybe that's going on with you in here or maybe out here right now, that the wind's blowing hard and the waves are so tall that it frightens you and it hurts on the inside and you're not actually sure how you're going to deal with it. What does he say? Hear his words. Hear the words of the one who died for you. He stares those things right in the eye and he says this. Peace. Be still. peace. Be still. And we're filled and overwhelmed with the reality of the God who's in control of everything actually loves me, and he actually loves you, and he's in control of whatever's got you riled up on the inside and whatever's got me. Those storms have to, this is the big point, have to, they don't have a choice, they have to listen to his word. He's the boss. So if you've got one going on, hear his word again. Peace. Be still. Peace. God loves you. There's still troubles because there's sin in the world, but our Savior Jesus has total authority over them. So watch and see how he calms them now that he has spoken to us from his word. See how he does it and give him thanks and praise for his work and his love. Because you're not the reasons for the trouble in your life. Jesus died for you. His life counts for yours now. Our sins are forgiven. And like Jonah went into the belly of that fish for 3 days, so our Lord went into the belly of the earth and rose again, guiltless, having never sinned or run from God. And yet he went and took our sin and our running and our avoidance of God and our love of pleasure all on himself, and then killed it on the tree and rose again to say to us, peace, be still. Why are you so afraid? He says. He's given us faith to trust in his words. They're powerful, and they calm the storms that day for the disciples, or that night on the sea, and now they calm the storms for us this morning. May we, by his strength and his spirit, cry out and cast our cares upon him and trust that whatever storms happen, he's Lord over them, and he loves us forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wondrous works to the children of men. You hold power over wind and waves, sin and death. Deliver us from every trouble and distress, and help us hear your words, peace, be still. Lord, in your mercy. God of our salvation, you have ushered in the favorable time and day of salvation through the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Support all your ministers, all your congregation members, all your believers, and remove all obstacles from any of us hearing and believing your word. Let your grace be proclaimed through every hardship, struggle and suffering, through every storm, and encourage us by the example of our brothers and sisters and the many saints who consider themselves rich because of your grace and alive because of your mercy and willing to withstand by your strength every opposition. For since we have you, O Lord, we possess everything. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, open wide the hearts of Christians to one another, especially within the home, between family members, and also between neighbors. Cast out the evil one and the work that he does to divide us, the way he prods our hearts to look to blame one another rather than to try and understand. Let love be genuine, speech truthful and kind and patient. Let us commend ourselves in everything as those known by God's love and therefore unashamed to serve one another. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you rule this world by your power. Give to our civil servants respect and recognition of your creation and its nature. When they use the authority that you gave them, let it be in accord with your good design for our world and not in corruption and greed and lust. May they be able to rebuke those who do wrong and reward good citizens. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty Lord, you command the wind and the wave, and out of your mercy spare us from disaster. Give success to our crops. Send suitable rains for the earth. Give protection to those endangered by the storms that come in the land or on the sea or in the air. Give us faith both to call you in trouble, to pray to you. Lord, humble us before you, that we may not just think to pray, but actually to pray. And help us trust in you, that you will and promise to work everything for our good in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Gracious Father, you see that we are perishing, yet you bid us to set our fears aside and trust in you for the sake of Christ, by whose blood we have received peace for our troubled consciences. Do not reject our prayers for their faithlessness, but teach us to trust in you fully. Give your protection and peace, Lord, to those that we name now at this time. Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Ruidoso, New Mexico. Lord, we lift up to you and name before you Lola Gates, Echo Webb and family, Lori Hauser, Sam Mestis, Tim Cody, Cy Cavaletto, Isabel Cody, Julie Knoll, Ricky Luco, the Mitsukami family, the family of William Tanner, Emily Johnson and her family, Sean Austin, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jiri, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, we join with the sons of God and shout for joy as Christ Jesus gives to us his true body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Let us not doubt, but firmly believe your word, that you who formed our world and its matter know well how to be present for us and our forgiveness in this sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As we enjoy some music from our organist this morning, we'll have our offerings collected and presented to the altar. Thank you. you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service, and we wish you the Lord's blessings in Christ as you go about your week. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary, we invite you at this time to stand, if you're able, and please turn over to page 8 in your bulletin for our service of the sacrament. We begin there with the preface in the middle of page 8. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.